it's really true or not, sometimes we tend to glorify the bad and diminish the good, and for whatever reason or whatever, the point is, all around us, there's a need for peace. There's a need for unity. There's a need for hope. There's a need for joy. There's a need for light, for truth, and for answers to those tough questions. And if you, like me, are a born-again believer and a follower of Jesus, you've experienced the transformation that happens by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And you then know, like me, that we have the truth, we have the light, and that in Christ, and only in Christ alone, is the source of peace and the source of unity that this world is so desperate for and so needs. It seems like we need peace and unity more and more each and every day. And so we're in the middle of a series. We're over halfway now. We're winding down a series on a Christian keychain where all believers can own and possess some simple keys to help each of us unlock peace and unity in our lives. First and foremost, peace and unity with our God, but then peace and unity in our body, in our families, in our community, and ultimately all over the world. And so that's what this is all about. And you might be here maybe for the first time, maybe you've been watching or coming every week, and you're wondering, why such a big deal on this section of the Bible? Why so much on three verses? And remember, it's really not three verses, it's just two verses that we're really focusing on for all these weeks. Why is this such a big deal to you? Well, I would say that it's not a big deal to me. I'd say it's a big deal to God. It's a crucial deal to all of humanity that we would understand and really grasp and own this key doctrine. What we're talking about here is core to our values, essential to who we are as Christians. And I met with a man earlier this week that said he didn't like the name Christian because it's so misunderstood. He liked the name born-again believer, and I could not agree more. Christian can even have a negative connotation in the world that we live in today. But for simplicity's sake, Christian means little Christ, a follower of Jesus. And to that doctrine, what we've been talking about, what we're going to talk about today, is absolutely essential. Total core doctrine. And I believe that if the body of Christ could be 100% solid on these few important details, it would change everything. It would change the way we give to missions. It would change the way we go on mission. It would change the way we minister here in the church and around the community. It would settle all disputes. If we could just be solid on this, it would change everything radically for the King and his kingdom. That's why such a big deal is being made out of these couple of verses. Plus, they're just some of my favorite. So there you go. That doesn't hurt either. But anyway, to get into the message today, remember the question I asked. Don't answer this out loud. But remember the question I've been asking each and every week. If and when you stand before the King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, the Great I Am, and he says, "Why should I allow you into heaven?" What would your answer be? How would you go about answering that question? Because ultimately, everyone will be faced with judgment. We're here on this earth for a short time, and then comes judgment. And so what would your answer be, truthfully? What would it be? Well, I've explained and shared, and I'll continue every day, every message, to some degree or another. What is the answer to that question? And there's only one answer, and that is, I have been forgiven, and I am now right with God because of Jesus. That's the answer. That's the only right and true and correct answer. Most people would answer it in some way, shape, or another, that I'm a good person. Why would you get to go to heaven? Well, because I'm good. I'm really good. In fact, I'm a whole lot better than my neighbor. Did you see what he did last week? So somewhere in that equation is good, works. I've done so many good things. I've been a member of my church for 53 years. Somewhere in their answer generally is good. It's works. It's all the things that they've done and how much better they are than someone else. Maybe not as good as my neighbor on the other side, but a whole lot better than that guy down the road. Satan has worked in this problem, this situation throughout the ages. He has tried to deceive and distract God's people and somewhere in that bring in a level of good works. What Satan wants is to erode the work of Jesus on the cross and build in a human element to salvation. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, has been under attack since the resurrection. Satan has been working in the body, he's been working in deceiving people and tricking people into thinking that, yeah, Jesus is good. In fact, maybe even Jesus is great, but you need to keep working really hard. Do lots and lots of good things. And by the way, be circumcised and keep the law and fill in the blank, all these different religious and ritualistic acts and things. It's been a trick from Satan from the very, very beginning. And why does he want to bring that into the equation? Because as he does, again, it diminishes the work of Jesus on the cross, and it also leads us then to have a lack of confidence in our own testimonies. And I'll get more into that later on. I don't want to take too much time right now. But that's why Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and then next week will be 10. That's why this is so crucial, so important, so vital. Why so many weeks on this Christian keychain that all of us can own and possess these simple keys that help us unlock peace and unity with God. And peace and unity in our families and all around. So let me read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And by the way, is anybody memorizing these verses? Raise your hand if you are, because Kevin Gustafson offered $25 to each person that memorized. Oh, there's more hands going up. Too late now. Too late now. Good job, though. Kevin, keep track of who's been doing this. So thank you, Kevin, for inspiring people to memorize God's word. These are truly important verses, and I would really encourage you to memorize them. Maybe next week the money will have gone up. So let's follow along with me if you have a copy of God's Word. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and we'll read 10 as well. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Father, I thank You for Your word and this time of worship together as we can truly gather and give You worth and value because You are worthy. And Father, I thank You for Your word and this message, and I pray that You take it and speak it clearly and boldly through me. Lord, I pray You would open up all of our hearts and our minds that we can more clearly and better understand who You are and how simple this process is and what it means to turn our lives over to You and then live as growing and maturing, ever being sanctified believers in Your service for Your glory. Lord, move among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So every believer, every person ever created needs to understand this core doctrine, these principles of the Christian faith, and gain and access these keys to be able to gain and access peace and unity. And today's key, we studied what it means to be saved. We studied grace and faith, and today the key is not by works. Not by works. One of the great questions, and I've talked about this before, I get asked this all the time. It's such a valuable thing for all of us to know, and I know that the crowd changes week by week, so if you've heard this so many times, forgive me, but it's so important. I'll keep talking about it on, and it will hopefully help you be armed to answer this question as people ask you. But one of the great questions I get all the time is Brother Kurt, that's what they call me down south, Brother Kurt, why is it that there are so many religions? Why are there so many different religions all over the world? And then another question is, how do you know that Christianity is right? And I've got great answers, simple answers for all that. But let's talk right now first about why so many religions. And there's really only two. There are really two religions in existence in the world, and they fall into two different camps, Christianity and every other false religion in the world. Now, Christianity is very specific, super specific. It says that Jesus Christ is God, fully and completely is God, was and always will be God, and that the only way to make God happy, to be right with God, is to turn from your sin and simply trust in Jesus. That's it. That's Christianity. Every other religion in existence in the world, every other religion says that Jesus is not God, and that the best you can hope for is to work really hard, and maybe at the end of your life, your good will outweigh your bad. Maybe. That's every other religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, look at Mormonism. If you work hard enough, you're going to become God, because God once was a man and he worked really hard and became God, and now he's the God of our planet. And if you keep working, by the way, women, you're out, but men, if you keep working, you will become God and you'll inherit a planet, and all your family, your wife included, or wives, will then get to go to your planet with you and then worship you. And I asked a Mormon friend, I said, well, what about if your son works really hard, he becomes God, then who's worshiping you if he gets his own planet? And he's, I don't know, just what they teach. So whatever. The point is, they do not believe that Jesus is God. And they believe that if you work really hard, maybe, just maybe, it will work out well for you in the end. Why are there so many religions in the world? There's not. There's only two. One is a works-based, Jesus is not God. The other is completely against, anti-works, and that Jesus is fully and completely God. Sorry to keep going over that, but man, if we could all be solid on that, it just changes everything. Core, key, vital doctrine is not by works. Now, don't come today and then skip next week, because next week is all about works. But I want to make sure that we're clear on this first and foremost. It is not by works that we are saved. This is absolutely as essential of doctrine as grace and faith. Absolutely as essential as grace and faith. In fact, if you throw works in there, you ruin grace and you ruin faith. Not by works is just as valuable of a key as knowing what it means to be saved, understanding grace, and understanding faith. That's why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are so absolutely crucial, so vital. Now, I don't have a wood stove or a fireplace, sadly. My wife is crying up here in the front row as I remind her that she does. We don't need it today. We don't need it today or last week. Oh, my word. But in the winter, I've experienced it. It gets a little chilly. And a wood stove or wood fireplace would be awesome, would be great. So let's say that I get one and I have one and the insurance company says it's okay and all that. And then I hire you to come and cut and split a bunch of wood for me while I drink coffee. I watch you do it. But I've hired you, so it's okay. I'm the boss and you're the worker, and so I'm paying you a certain amount per hour, and you work really hard, do a great job, cut and split and stack a whole bunch of birch wood, and it's ready to go so that my wife is happy. And a happy wife is a happy life.
It's about him.
And so you get done, and you've worked 8 hours on my wood pile. And thank you for that. That's great. And so you've now earned a wage. You deserve what I promised you, maybe a little more. If you did a really good job and made the stack of wood like neat, you know, like I've seen some of you do, you don't just simply pile it like my kids, but you make it really cool and whatever, then you've earned it. That's a wage. You deserve what you got. You have earned that wage because of the work that you have done. That is earning it. A gift is something that you didn't earn. Something that you didn't deserve. If you showed up and I already had the wood cut and split and stacked, and I simply gave you all the money that you would have earned by doing the work, that's a gift. That is a gift. And a gift is great. A gift is good. A gift is given. It's so not earned. And it's even better if you didn't deserve it. That gift is so much greater when you didn't even deserve it. In fact, you deserve something so much worse. But you got this great and precious and valuable gift. Paul is so clear in this book and in Scripture and all of his letters over and over and over. Paul says it so many times, not by works. Not by works. You and I were created by God in God's image, and we in our flesh have a built-in desire to work, to earn God's favor. It's built into us. It's just part of our DNA. It doesn't make sense to think about grace and faith. It just doesn't make any sense. Earning it and working it does. That makes sense in our flesh. That's why every single cult has a works-based religion. Every cult says work really hard, earn it, work. It makes sense in our flesh. It makes sense. Jesus came and he just rocked the world. He changed everything. Remember the religious leaders? It had been 400 years since God had spoken through a prophet. And then here comes John the Baptist. And then Jesus. And Jesus just changed everything. And the religious leaders of the day, they had taken God's law and God's word and just magnified it. They said, if keeping rules and regulations is important, then keeping lots more rules and regulations will be even better. And so they had taken God's word and his commandments and just magnified and twisted and added. And so they were overloaded with rules and regulations, works, do this, don't do that. And Jesus said, it's not about that. In fact, I will complete and accomplish all of that for you. And now if you turn to and trust in me and me alone, it will be as though you kept those rules and regulations perfectly from the time you were born till the time you die. Congratulations, you're now victorious because of me. That's what Jesus said, and the religious leaders hated him for it. He turned everything upside down. Jesus just changed, and remember that human nature to work and earn it and do all that? Jesus said you could never work hard enough. You can't do it on your own. In fact, that's why the law was given, to prove your inability to do it. They used to have to kill animals, and then Jesus came as the perfect Lamb of God. And he was slain on the cross, giving his life to pay the penalty for sin and death forever and ever. Jesus turned it all upside down. And by the way, if you like to argue or dispute or debate or whatever faith with other people, that's one of the greatest arguments, is that Christianity could never be created by humans, because in us we would have added works in there somewhere. And Jesus said, it's not about works. It's about my grace through your faith. Amen. That's why Paul wrote the book of Galatians, one of my favorite books. Paul would go on mission trips and he would preach the gospel. People would be saved and lives would be changed, and he would plant churches. And then following Paul would come these messengers of Satan called Judaizers, and they would come into the church and they would say, Jesus is good. Man, don't you love Jesus? Three cheers for Jesus. But if you really want to make God happy, get circumcised. And oh yeah, keep the law. Yeah, go ahead and do that too, because remember, Jesus is good, but the more you do, the better you will have your relationship with God. They added in works, and Paul, it just infuriated Paul, and I get it, and I understand it. Read Galatians, that's what it's all about, over and over, and he starts it hot. He is so mad at the churches in the region of Galatia, all those churches, because they had so easily adopted this works-based faith, and Paul is like, I can just read it in there, he's pulling his hair out. He's so upset. Do you think we need to work to earn our salvation? No, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he's adamant about not by works. That's why he did all these things. I've been on a couple mission, lots of mission trips, but one of the saddest parts of going on mission and being with people maybe that you don't know that well or whatever, and some of them are a little bit confused or whatever, inevitably we go out door to door evangelizing, sharing Jesus. I love to do that. I love to talk with people and encourage them in their walk with the Lord and get them to a point where they turn over their lives and surrender to Jesus and born again and saved and all that cool stuff. And I love that. And sadly, I've seen a couple of brothers or sisters lead someone to the Lord, share Jesus. A person gets to the point where they're giving them their lives over. And then this person would add on, by the way, now, great, that's good, but you got to stop cussing. Quit cussing. Don't smoke anymore. You need to stop smoking. Don't drink, you know. Don't do that. Yeah, you got to go to church every Sunday. They start adding in all these rules and regulations to this brand new believer that doesn't know anything other than they were a sinner and they needed saved by God's grace, and they've now put their faith in. It absolutely breaks my heart to see sometimes church people adding in things to do for brand new believers. And are you saying, well, Pastor, are you saying that you should continue to cuss and smoke and do all these things that we think or whatever are bad? Absolutely not. No. But I don't think that it's a list that we need to add to for you to do. What I think, what I believe, what I know, what I've experienced in reality is that a true repentant heart, when you realize your sin and its ugliness before God, when you realize who Jesus is, who we were, who we now are in Christ, the Scripture says we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we realize God's gift, undeserved favor of grace, when we are filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings conviction in our lives. That's different than guilt. Conviction changes lives. Guilt just adds on weight that we were not designed to carry. The Spirit brings conviction on your own sin. Fill in the blank. Maybe it's too much frozen custard. Not that I would know anything about that sin. They know me by name up there. Man, they came up with way too many good flavors. But let the Spirit bring conviction in your own personal sin, whatever that, maybe it's cussing, maybe it's smoking, maybe it's drinking too much, anything in excess is a problem when it controls you, when it changes you, whatever. The point is, the Spirit is a whole lot better at bringing conviction than you or me. We should never be guilty of adding on to new believers, oh yeah, don't do that anymore and do this. Throwing in these rules and regulations and rituals and religious acts. Paul said over and over and over and over again, Jesus taught not by works. Not by works. Core and key and essential doctrine. And it's been under attack from the very beginning. Satan tries to undermine that not by works idea, because if our salvation is earned, if we can work hard enough and earn it, then God's love is conditional. Then that means that God loves you when you've hit the mark, whatever amount of works, 1, 2, 10, 1,000, whatever good deeds, whatever tasks you've completed, at some point you pass from being unloved by God to being loved. God's love would be conditional upon your merit, your good works. If that is true, then grace is removed from the equation. God's unmerited favor on us, undeserving, it's gone. Faith is eliminated. No need to trust in Jesus completely and wholly, because it's all on you. Work hard enough, try hard enough, be good enough. And see, if God's love is conditional, if grace is removed, if faith is removed, then there's no confidence in God. It changes everything. No confidence in God, no confidence in your salvation. Your testimony is ruined and eliminated. You're never certain if you've been good enough or done enough. You no longer have that. This is who I was before Jesus. This is how I came to my faith in Jesus. And now today, this is who I am because of Jesus. That's your testimony. Everybody in here should have one. If not, talk to me and let's get you hooked up and connected to Jesus and receive God's grace by your faith. And then you'll see the power and the working of the Spirit in your life. If all those things are true, if it's by works, not by grace, not by faith, then God's love is removed. Everything is taken away. Everything has changed. Our testimonies are removed. And the Father is lowered to some sort of a heavenly bank teller, where he's there behind the plexiglass, wearing a mask, and keeping track of your good deeds and your bad deeds, and saying, yep, you're one good deed ahead of all your... Oh, wait a minute. Now you're three bad deeds behind. Keep working. Keep going. Keep trying. God is lowered and reduced to some sort of a bank teller if we add works into the equation. There's no hope, no joy, no peace, no unity because of all the uncertainty. You see how Satan has worked in the church, undermining the work of Jesus on the cross. You see how no human would ever come up with this Christianity idea. It just doesn't make any sense to us. If we did it, if you and I earned it and did it and were successful at bringing on our own salvation, then we would be exalted. And that's pride. That's the absolute root of every other sin in existence. It boils down to pride. What I want more than what God wants. If we did it, then we would be exalted. Remember the beginning of this chapter, verses 1, well, I'm going to read 1 through 7. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. Here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. He also, get this, I love this. This is amazing. This is so cool. Verse 6, he also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not from work, so that no one can boast. Did you know that you are God's trophy? You are going to be seated and exalted next to Jesus. You are the crowning jewel of creation. You are the proof and evidence of his power and all the work that he did, the glory that he brought to this earth. You are it. You're it. Don't look down. Don't look at the ground. Don't live shamed. That doesn't glorify God. You're a trophy. Precious. Bought by the blood of Jesus. You're no longer a slave to fear and sin and failure. You are a trophy that will be seated next to Jesus, a king and a queen, ruling and reigning with him in glory forever. Not by works, nothing that you could ever do, it's by God's grace. Through your faith. You see, if we did it, we would be exalted, but because we didn't and he did solely and exclusively, now you and I can praise and worship him forever and ever for all of eternity. We can brag on him and highly exalt him because he is worthy. He is worthy. Why so much time on these two verses? Because they're so important and so essential. If you and I can get solid on these, it will just change everything. We know that we are saved from our sin. We were dead in our sins and made alive by Christ. And it is strictly through his grace, unmerited favor, a gift from God that we didn't deserve, but our faith unlocks that grace. And it is absolutely and essentially not by work, so that none of us could ever brag about it. We can solely and exclusively brag on Jesus. Don't skip next week. Don't skip next week, because it's not free. Now what? Now we get into verse 10. And what does verse 10 say? Man, you and I were created for good works to do and exalt the King of Kings here on this earth. Don't come today and skip next week. But Jesus is worthy. Pray with me. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, for your grace, for simply creating this system that is just unhuman. We can't hardly fathom it. We can't grasp it. That's what faith is truly all about. And Lord, I thank you that you proved your love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now through him, you have changed us and made us new. And that old life is dead and gone and buried. And now in Christ, we are brand new creations. We are your crowning jewel. Lord, we praise and exalt you for that. And Lord, I pray for anybody that is here today or watching online that if they have never yet received your grace by their faith, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would move from death to life, move from unforgiven to forgiven. Lord, I pray that you would give them that clarity and that decision that needs to be made, and Lord, help them move forward. So Father, whatever it is that you need, move on this earth, be exalted in this body, because you are worthy, in Jesus' name.